The text for our message this morning is taken from the 14th chapter of John, verses 1 through 6. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I'm going to brag a little bit this morning. I have a very unique ability, my sense of direction. You can put me at the intersection in a big city or in the middle of a forest where 10 trails intersect, spin me around 10 times blindfolded, and when you remove that blindfold, 99.9% of the time, I will go the wrong way. I'm very thankful for compasses built into cars and especially for the GPS in my phone. I need those things to find my way. When it comes to my eternal life, I also know that I need assistance. I can't find my way to heaven on my own. None of us can. Many in our world picture religion as standing at a crossroad and deciding which path to take, believing that they all lead to the same place. They're almost right. One path, the one that says Jesus, leads to heaven. But all of the other ones lead to hell. The other paths go by many different names: Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, postmodernism, Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormon. There are almost too many to list. There are really only two paths. One leads to heaven, and the other leads to hell. Jesus says, "I am the way." Notice that he doesn't say, "I'm one way" or "I am a way." He is the way. Why is it so important that we make that distinction? We probably know others who think it's not so important. We may know people who follow those other religions, who are very nice, decent people. And it's tempting to believe that it doesn't matter, but it does. It's a matter of eternal life and eternal death. And the fact that friends of ours may not be believers should encourage us all the more to share the good news of the gospel with them. We don't teach that the Christian faith is the only saving faith because we want to put other religions down, because we want to make ourselves better or to cause hatred. We continue to teach that Jesus is the only way because it is the truth. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth." Truth is something that seems to often be in a short supply these days. Words are twisted to fit situations. The meaning is changed to meet the goals of the speaker or the listener. Lying is considered acceptable in so many situations now. And the idea that something can be absolutely true is considered absolutely false. We're taught from very early in our lives by many to question authority, and that idea has spilled over even into the church. We may be tempted to think, if I have the right to question my teachers, if I have the right to question laws and the government, if I have the right to question my parents, then I must also have the right to question God. But Jesus also tells us, "The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." The words Jesus speaks in the Bible are also the words of the Father, and the words in our Bible are the Word of God. They aren't human words with a few of God's words thrown in. They are God's Word spoken and written through people. There have been a lot of attempts to change His Word and many attempts to discredit it through history and science, technology, and even theology. And every one of those attempts ultimately fail. God will not allow his word to be lost for any reason, because it's a part of him. John writes about Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Our Bible isn't simply a great work of ancient literature. It is God speaking to us directly. Every time you hear it or read it, God is speaking to you through his Holy Spirit. And Jesus gives us the reason keeping God's word pure is so important in his third statement. I am the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to heaven. He's the truth that tells us how we're saved. And he's the life for all who believe. Imagine you were given only hours to live. Would your faith crumble because your death is coming much more quickly than you thought? Faced with that prospect, you'd quickly realize that Jesus here isn't speaking of this life. This life will end for everyone. It's what comes after that Jesus means when he says in John chapter 11, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Our souls will never die. The soul of a Christian will live forever, and even our bodies will rise again from the grave. There are many times in our lives when Jesus' promises seem distant, many days when we're tempted to doubt the words he tells us to trust. The people who would like you to give up the life Jesus promises and to follow their way. Satan may tempt you to believe that your own works of charity, your own good deeds, will get you to heaven. And we all need to be reminded continually of Jesus' simple statement that no one comes to the Father except through him. When you're tempted to doubt his words, remember what's at stake. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's the promise we're given as Christians. Jesus tells us to trust him. He doesn't promise to use signs or miracles to strengthen our faith. He's given us his word and sacraments, and that's enough. There are many rooms or many mansions in heaven. There's room enough for everyone. And no one who trusts in Christ alone for their salvation will be turned away. No other religion can guarantee that. None. They may give you some kind of encouragement that if you've done enough, you might get to some kind of vague afterlife. If you chant the right prayers, if you give up all the pleasures of this life, if you die as a martyr, your God may take pity on you. But the best they can do is keep you wondering whether or not you're saved. They're not ways to heaven. They are paths to hell. The only path to heaven is through Jesus. And what great comfort Jesus gives to Christians in this text. Not only does he promise us that we have a place in heaven, in his Father's house, but he comes to take us there. I am the way. Through his perfect life and his holy death, he has paid for all of our sins. He gives us all we need to know and trust in him for our salvation. I am the truth. Through the word of God, the Bible, we're taught everything we need to know for our salvation. And by Christ's saving work, we have eternal life with our heavenly Father. I am the life. Christ alone saves. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.